Hi, good night, everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of the Warrior Coil podcast brought to you by SoCoWarriors.net. So, tonight in the studio, I have, as always, special guest Toilman. What about Toilman?
Everything cool for the hour, man.
Also, have Kevin Harrison of Northeasters. What's going on, Kevin?
Yeah, it's all happening, mate. It's all happening.
Right? My name is Omar, and I have with us our special guest on the show tonight is Lasana Lightbird. What's going on, Lasana?
Everything is fine. Good to be here.
Cool, man. Well, you know, thanks for coming on and joining us here on the podcast. This is just a little, this is our fourth episode where we have basically prominent figures within the local football game come and give us some of their views and the current state of the game. So, Lasana, I mean, just to kind of, for the listeners who may not know all the details of how you came to be a prominent journalist here in Trinidad, you know, give us a little background of, you know, yourself and the path you took to reach where you are.
Okay. I started at the Trinidad Guardian at 19 years old as a trainee reporter, and I've been in the media ever since. You know, I went from the Guardian across the Express about 2 years later. I stayed there until about 2003 full time, when I had a stint in Britain for a few years, and thereafter some freelance internationally and locally. And now I have my own online website called Wired 868, that, you know, number one I think for football news right now in Trinidad. I'd like to think so anyway. It's just 6 weeks old, and that's the future, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Nice. I mean, well, congrats on launching Wired 868, and you know, so far seems to be, I did actually check it out a few times, and it seems to be rich on content and has some real good stuff on there.
Okay, then.
You said six weeks on so far. How the in terms of the viewerships and the hits and stuff, how it looking so far?
It's going fine. In terms of just hits, we crossed 1 million hits about a week ago.
Wow.
In terms of visitors, just about 25,000 visitors. So I think that's pretty okay. I would take that. I mean, it's an extremely short-staffed affair. I'm the only staff reporter at all, you know. So I have to say, to me, it's a good start, and I hope it's something I can run.
Yeah, well, that's something, them numbers sounding strong there, you know. I mean, definitely, we wish you all the best with that venture.
Yeah, thanks.
In terms of your background, I mean, just to be to the point, you are probably the only journalist, I think, right now on the local scene that kind of keeping abreast of the ongoing court battle between the 2006 World Cup players and the TTFF.
Yeah.
How has that been going so far? Actually, just a step back, how did you get affiliated with the whole case with the Warriors?
Well, I think I was just doing my job, you know. As a football reporter, you're talking about your World Cup players. You're talking about the most famous team in the history of the country, you know. So honestly, I think it would be something that every football reporter, you know, would be able to speak about comprehensively, just off the tip of his tongue, you know. I was quite surprised that the newspapers didn't follow it more. I don't know if it's a matter of they weren't able to, the attention span was too short. I don't know. I do know that at the last court case, though, there were quite a few reporters, and maybe it would get a bit more prominence now. Although I think that has more to do with Jack Warner's prominence in local politics more than just football, you know. But for me, as a football reporter, and the national senior team players being involved, I mean, I have to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just say, just to add to that, that in 2006, when I first become kind of involved with the case on, you know, from the perimeter, if you like, I mean, Lasana was still I can't remember, Lasana, which paper you was on. I think it might have been the Express. But you were calling me in England to ask me updates. You know, so I mean, I know that Lasana just as a journalist, doing his job as a journalist, was working on the case right from the very, very start. So, I mean, I remember meeting you in Trinidad with Kelvin Jack when I came out in January, I think, and you was just really on the case, but just purely as a journalist. It was, I don't think at that time you'd really kind of got consumed by it. I think at that point you was just doing your job, you know, and it was apparent to me that there wasn't many other people in Trinidad doing that job. And I have this big issue about the difference between a journalist and a reporter. And Lasana Liebert is a journalist, where most of the other guys are reporters. They just report story. They don't look and dig, you know, and probe. So, you know, I respected him from day one because he was phoning me, you know, in England. So, you know, big up. Well done.
Hey,
Lasana, I mean, just going forth with Kevin's point there, with the tenacity that you've showed and have been showing with various articles, how do you respond to the charges that you have something against Jack Warner, that you have it out for him? Because, yeah, you know, I see that viewpoint being expressed not only on the Soka Warriors Internet Forum, but, you know, in talking to some of my partners and so forth, some feel that you just doing whatever it takes, like to take him down, and you will suffer nothing to see that happen. How do you respond to that?
I have no problem with anyone else having an opinion at all, you know. I tell people that for me to cover football, as I have been doing for the last 16 years or so, you know, I not mention Jack Warner fairly regularly, let's say, you know, would be something like me writing for the Catholic newspaper and never mentioning the, you know.
Well said.
Jack Warner has, you know, he is football. He has been football in the Caribbean for a very, very long time. CFU president, TTFF special advisor, CONCACAF president, and so on. So it's impossible really to cover the sport properly, you know, without mentioning Jack Warner. I could, you could tell your friends for certain that I've never changed my Friday night plans because of Jack Warner. You know, it's strictly business. It's not personal at all. You know, he has his job to do and I have mine, you know. I remember the first campaign as a young reporter would have been in 1998, was it? World Cup qualifying campaign? I believe it was. And there was quite a bit happening off the field in that tournament, right? I remember Zoran Vranić was sacked after Jack Warner sent a note to the bench with tactical instructions and so on. Wow. You had Latapi being banned during the tournament. Dwight York was banned. David Nackett said he couldn't make it to a game because his club kept the passport. All sorts of stuff happening off the field. You know, and as a reporter, it was fairly obvious, you know, that I couldn't do my job properly by just focusing on what happened on the field. Because so many things happened in the administrative rooms that affected the play, you know, that was going on. I mean, I love football, and I would be as happy as anyone just to sit in the stand and write on football matches. I'd be thrilled just to do that alone, you know. But, you know, it would be dishonest for me not to make a point of the importance that was happening off the field. And when you went off the field, or when you go off the field in Trinidad, you're really going into Jack Warner's, you know, his room, his office. And I guess that's what took me there.
Okay.
I think as well, it's interesting because to me, what Lasana does is nothing unusual, because you all know the reputation of newspapers like The Sun and News of the World in England and whatever. You know, someone with Jack Warner's profile, with his fingers in so many different pies, he would always be on the front and back pages because he's a big man in football. And with the amount of opportunities that Jack provides, it's quite logical that you're going to be looking at that guy. And, you know, if we'd have had more investigative reporters in Trinidad, probably Jack Warner now would be in a lot more trouble because people would just dig and dig and dig. So I don't see what Lasana does as anything vindictive towards Jack Warner. He's just looking, you know, if Jack Warner wasn't making news, there'd be nothing to write. So Jack Warner's involved in everything that's happening, whether it be politics or football. So I just think Lasana is doing his job like any journalist should be doing. The problem here is that people aren't used to that, you know?
Well, one thing, is it safe to assume that you were not invited to the media luncheon the other day?
I would say that if a dish was named after me, I certainly wouldn't eat it.
Yeah, salmonella. Lasagna.
Didn't even get a lasagna doubles, boy.
No. It'd be lasagna lasagna. And it'd be inedible.
I would have put the lab first. I could assure you of that.
Yeah. Right, so lasagna, I mean, now just kind of going back, we did say that you are one of the only journalists who kind of put any spotlights on this case. But it seems like, you know, the public on a whole don't really grasp the magnitude of this whole situation involving the players and the ongoing court case. Like, if you're talking to the man and you treat some of these kind of sentiments, you get like, you know, well, you know, even though the players were in the case, you know, look at what's going on with Trinidad football as a result, and, you know, these players might be coming off as kind of greedy, and, you know, some of them get a million and this and that, which is, why do you think that is, that people can't really grasp that?
I think in Trinidad society on the whole, I don't want to lecture to anybody, you know, but I think too many times we only tend to react to things when we feel like it affects us personally, you know, which is a bit sad, I think. I remember the first game after the World Cup, we were playing against, I believe, St. Vincent, and there were not even 10,000 people in the stands. You know, we won 5-1, Dwight took us here and so on. And to me, it didn't matter who you were playing. You know, people should have been there supporting the team, you know. And I guess the team, the kind of figures that they were talking about and so on, I don't know what the public, I don't want to say that it could be a matter of envy or anything else. I don't know. But personally, I feel that more and more Trinidadians need to look after their neighbors, and we need to look out for each other more. You know, and a promise was made, and I see nothing wrong with it, with the guys expecting the promise to be kept, you know, and I feel that people should have more respect for the heroes.
Yeah, and it's a bigger issue about, you know, just a promise being made and a promise being kept. Is about, you know, where did this, you know, money go? At the end, you know, that's what I think people should be focusing on. Money that could have been going towards the development of Trinidad football, you know, just disappear in a black hole, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But that seems to be the problem, that people are more interested in criticising the players and saying, you're going to get all this money, rather than looking at the fact that it's just wrong. And if this sort of stuff is going on, then where else is it happening? You know, and people can't be allowed to run free with public finances and just say, well, this is football business. No, it's not. It's public finances. It's taxpayers' money. And, you know, if people are doing things wrong, they need to be exposed. Regardless of whether the players get their money, that's not the issue. That's the byproduct now. The real story now is finding out what happened to the money, why it happened, and stopping it from happening again.
So, Ahmad, what are some of the, for you, what are some of the sentiments you get, you know, surrounding the court case?
The thing is, for most people that I talk to, they just focus on, you know, some of them parrot the same thing that Anna Roberts was talking about. We ain't score a goal, that we ain't win no match, you know, we ain't getting no 3 points off of no game, so they ain't deserve no money. Number one, it's not about what you know, whether or not you deserve it, right? It's what was contractual, right? It wasn't money based on merit, right? So that's number one. But I think that they're not really looking at that big picture, as you said, about accounting for this, you know, for these missing funds. Because I firmly believe that if they had all their documentation together, all their accounting done correctly, and they showed, you know what, we only make a profit of $2, you know, so they divide that $2 between all of them, you know, that would be fine if everything was lined up correctly.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a hard and fast figure they were given. You know, it was just a percentage of profit. So show, you know, the financial statements. But now the people focusing on greed and so forth, instead of saying, you know, where is the money? This is no different than many times in government where you have this corruption and bubble and missing funds, right? You know, where is it? and especially where the government gave so much money, wouldn't you as a taxpayer want to know where did it go?
But I think that your point there about people parroting, I mean, the whole this whole thing that's come up about they didn't win a match, they didn't score a goal. My question has always been this: if the performance was so poor, how come Jack Warner rushed to the dressing room and say, "Hey, I'm going to increase your bonus. I'm so excited." Why would you be excited if the performance was so poor? So people forget that draw with Sweden was massive. England struggled to draw with Sweden. Sweden are a big team. That was massive. And people forget that. Holding England to 0-0 to what, 82 minutes? Massive. So these people are disrespecting what was achieved. It was a tremendous performance.
Not only that, but the amount of coverage and exposure that this country got as a result.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's sad for it to come down to that. But unfortunately, I think too, because, you know, it's more or less only Lasana doing it, that it's not, mm-hmm. it wasn't really being covered in the papers all the time. People just come to their own conclusions and just think, you know, they're just greedy. And now when they see them police show up to take furniture, they say, well, they're spiting them.
Yeah.
And, see, for me, the worrying thing too kind of talking to people around, I think we're not really following it. And you see, that's the thing with, you know, I mean, Lasana is the one who kind of pushing it, but the rest of the media has not been putting it on the front burner. So
no,
I mean,
they put
someone
the
who
pages.
Have a cursory look at it are saying, well, you know, they look at this and then the Federation have no money because of this case, and then our football is suffering, and then they turn around, they blame it on the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's a kind of worrying thing, and I don't know what has to be done for the media to give the importance that something as big as this deserves.
Mm-hmm. What I have to laugh at is this: our football is suffering. Our football? You don't go to no matches. Once you start going and putting your bum on seats and watching football, then you can call it our football. At the moment, it ain't our football because you don't go. So these people who are criticising, they ain't been to watch a match, you know. So, you know, they don't got no reason to stick their nose in. At the end of the day, this is kept on the sport pages, and people are being misinformed because, you know, general people maybe not reading the sport pages don't understand. But it's not our football. You get out there and start watching some matches, then it's our football, you know. That's what makes me sick. Sorry.
All right, so Lasana, just get back to you. So recently, I think within the last week, Jack Warner threatened to take legal action against you for the articles. Now, the articles that were published centered on the alleged misappropriation of funds for the Haitian relief effort, right? With regards to the to Jack Warner threatening to take legal action against you for the articles,
You
care to shed some light on that?
Well, I have received an email pre-action protocol letter. I think, as most people know already, the letter was initially sent to the Trinidad Express newspaper. It was then sent to the Mirror newspaper, in neither of whom I've written for months or even years in terms of the Express. And it was then sent to me, you know. But, you know, when you're seeing, I mean, for me personally, even the way that was handled, you know, I wonder how serious are these guys, you know, about this matter. All I would say is that I stand by the story. What I have said, and Warner himself has confirmed, money has been sent by FIFA, by the Korean Football Association to the TTFF. It went to our account that Warner has full control over. He hasn't denied that fact. And FIFA themselves have said that, listen, only 60,000 US got to Haiti. You know, if Warner has chosen to sue me and Wild 868, you know, rather than FIFA, then I guess that means that he considers my side to be a lot more influential than FIFA and the Sunday Times. And he thinks that, I guess, if I provide an apology for him, you know, that the entire world would see it, which I think is
compliment.
A lot of respect being shown to Wild 868. That much I'm thankful he thinks so highly of us. But I stand by my story, and Warner would get an apology as soon as he provides proof that the money was actually paid to the Haiti. I'd be happy to provide an apology and to put that story in a very prominent position on the website.
But what do you feel? I mean, what do you feel is the true motives behind this course of action, though?
I believe that Warner believes that, you know, once he has the local press pretty much on side, he can you know, go about his normal business in Trinidad and Tobago and not worry so much about what's being said about him internationally. And because there aren't many local newspapers or reporters that are there to ask, you know, difficult questions to him, then I suppose he thinks that if I am silenced, you know, that he'd probably have a much easier time, you know, locally. Mm-hmm. That would be my opinion.
So, man, you have any views on that whole that latest situation?
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't, you know, at all surprised at the action that Jack Warner took there. I am also at a loss as to why, because it would seem as though he would come out and say, hey, you know, Lasana is one set of lies. Look, the statements here, look, you know, whatever, you know, wire transfer confirmations, FIFA and them get it all wrong. This is the proof. But when the story first broke, I mean, if you remember seeing some of the clips, he said that he doesn't have to respond to them. Mm-hmm. No. I don't know why he would say that. I mean, as a government minister, you would want to say, look, I'm not involved in any kind of thing like that. You know, I will soon have a response that will show me innocent of these allegations. Or at least, you know, something like that. Mm. You know, from what I've seen in the past, it just seems to me like diversionary tactics. You know, because just like with the 06 Warriors, the simplest thing to do would be just provide proof, provide accounts. And I don't understand why he would just go after Lasana and them when the TTFF themselves were saying the same thing. The same organization that he was a special advisor for. You know, FIFA is saying the same thing. So, and the Haitian themselves saying that they don't have it. Right? So, I mean, if anything, he should be going to the source of those initial statements. Right? So, that's how I see it.
Yeah. So, Lasana, I mean, just looking forward, let's stepping back from the whole issue and let's looking at Trinidad and Tobago football on a whole. I mean, what do you see for Trinidad football? What would you like to see, and what do you think needs to be done to get the whole program back on track?
I think a big part of the problem right now is a breakdown in the relations between the different sectors in Trinidad football, right? You're talking about between the, well, first and foremost, you have the players and the administration, you know. You have the coaches against the administration. We see Latvia has a lawsuit now. There's a physio, I think Orlando Griffiths. I think there's always friction happening there as well. Yeah, between the business community and so on. So we need to get the different sides, you know, together, singing from the same hymn sheet as much as possible, you know. I mean, some conflict is fine, but nothing like what we have right now. Honestly, I think that's very hard to happen with some of the people who are involved at present. I think even people within the TTFF right now, I mean, even the marketing guy, Anthony Hartford, has been saying pretty much the same thing. So I think that we're going to need some changes at the top before we go forward. Thereafter, we really have to get buy-in again and probably start all over again, you know, trying to get the community involved and get people feeling passionate about the national team again and wanting to be a part of the whole thing. You know, and hopefully, you know, we could grow the football from there and go on once more.
What about you, Tom? What's your feeling?
Well, I think I've been calling new blood in that administration because we have too many dinosaurs there. I mean, the game has been big in all areas. We need people who are passionate about the game, who love the game, and want to see the game succeed for the country. Right? So I think we really have to start from the administrative level. The players themselves, I really believe that there needs to be something like Players Association, right, to represent the players. I mean, these conflicts have been going on for too long now, decades, right? This is just the latest in a long line. I mean, after that, you know what happened with Sancho and them a few years ago when they were getting water and bandages, that things around in the tracks. But I mean, you go back to the 60s, 70s, players getting banned for no reason when they ask for compensation, not receiving it, and so forth. So, you know, it's too long. We need to get modernized, right? You know, play the game right. And I think once we can get a house in order administratively and on the player side, it would be easy to bring in the, you know, the private corporate sector, right? And eventually, the aim should be to be self-sufficient so that we're not relying on the government of the day, right? And not have a centralized figure such as Jack Warner, because we see what happens when, you know, one guy gets too much power.
What about you, Kevin? You have any views about the direction of football?
Well, I just say, look, you know, if you look the rest of the world, you have to follow the patterns that they have, let's say, developed over the years. And I think it's something like 40 or 50 countries now have players' unions. And they're embraced by the football associations and by the leagues. They're an important part, because there's no point trying to argue with individual clubs or individual people. I mean, in every industry. So there's plenty to strengthen collective bargaining. But also, and this is the most important thing, every union is interested mostly in football doing well, because the more money in the game, the more money their members earn. And that's the secret. Once you get them to buy into the fact that the more money that is made out of football, the more money their members will earn, everyone can come on board and work together. Everyone's gone in the same direction. So I think, the players' union definitely. I think with the federation, I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you have a football team that loses repeatedly year after year after year, you first of all look at the players. You change the players around. If it still happens, you look at the coach and you change the coach. And that's the problem at the moment. TTFF have been repeatedly failing for 20, 30 years. You need to change those people now and bring new people in. Simple as that. I'm not saying everybody has to go, but certainly certain key people need to be removed because they're not doing their jobs. Simple as that. When you can't produce a set of accounts properly, you've got to ask why. Now, I've interacted a lot with the people at TTFF recently, and I find them on the whole to be good people. And I've looked at their books, and their books are in order, in that everything is filed nicely. I can't tell you if every penny's there or not, but I can tell you everything is filed nicely. You can ask them for July 2007, and they'll have everything there. Now, to me, somewhere along the line, Mr. Camps, Mr. Grodin, they were not really keeping an eye on what should be happening. And Mr. Warner was given a free rein, and I think that's a problem. Even to the point that I don't know if there's anything wrong but that Mr. Warner's done. What I do know is it looks to me like there's been commingling of funds. It could be an innocent reason, it could not be. But certainly there's money going left, right and centre, and there doesn't seem to be any reason why it's going from one bank account to another bank account, other than that was the first one, the first checkbook on the table. So I think there's a lot to be said for Mr. Grodin and Mr. Camps, because their position was to make sure that Football Federation was run correctly, and they didn't have the power, or they didn't have the balls, if you like, to stamp down on the activities. And that's where I feel the problem is, and I think a new infrastructure needs to be put in place. So
alright, so I mean, Lasana, just, you know, I mean, we, I don't think we have much long to go, but just jumping back over to Wired 868, what you just want to tell us where you see the site being in, let's say, the next year or so, what goals you have for it, and where you hope to see it going?
Well, I would like this site to grow into also go across into issues like health and education and politics and so on, as well as covering all sports properly. I'd like us to be a community-oriented site, and to be more focused on analysis than anything else, because it's the style that I am comfortable with, and that I think we could do it more of in the country. You know, so I hope eventually we could be a topic starter, for people in bars all over the country. You know, and essentially we keep people informed and entertained, and try to play our part in bettering things in Trinidad.
Cool, man.
What about Tobago?
Trinidad and Tobago. Very right.
Sorry. And as for you, Lasina Liber, the journalist, is this going to be where your focus is going to be from here, you think, for in the near to short-term future? What things can we look out for?
You mean in terms of the website?
Yeah, the website, and just in general, professionally, you have any other goals, any other things we should look out for?
Yeah, I mean, I worked abroad for a bit, and I could have stayed, I could still go. I'd always prefer, once I can, to work in my own country and to be able to help here, rather than, let's say, doing stories that might make things a bit better somewhere else,
Cool, man. And lastly, www.sokawarriors.net, have you checked it out? Any views, any opinions on the site?
That's on the forum, Sokawarriors Online?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I check the site out all the time, All the time, probably, maybe even daily. I think it's great for anybody, all stakeholders in football, I think, should check the site out. It's a chance to see, understand what the football fans are thinking. The fans are a very important part of the business of football anyway, and I think it's great what you all do and compiling the kind of database of stories you all have is wonderful as well, being a one-stop shop, for football. But I'll definitely check you guys out, and I hope that you all be around and flourishing, all the time.
Good stuff, man. So, Kevin, Tuaman, any final words before we close out?
Well, just looking for this case to resolve itself, positively. I mean, I'm hoping, sometime before the end of the year. I wish to see other journalists / reporters in TNT sort of follow Lasana's lead, not so much in a sort of copycat way, but at least in the desire to step outside the box and, and bring newsworthy stories in the sports arena. Of course, I'm biased towards football, right? But, we need more of that, because too many things go on that, I mean, stuff that we discuss on the site and you never hear people about it in the press, and, we need more, we need better communication. And I'm just looking forward to, even if things have to get, far worse before it gets better, I'll be along for the ride. So, just looking for that turnover.
Nice, man. And any closing thoughts there, Kevin?
Well, just again, I admire what Lasana's doing. I wish him luck. Hope he can get some advertisers on there to help him. And I think it's incredibly important. People talk about free democracy and free press and stuff like that. I think it's important that sites like Lasana's flourish and gain support, because, they go where other papers fit. Because don't forget, other papers, they don't want to lose their advertisers. They don't want to lose this. And, you need someone out there pushing the boundary and shaming those other people into actually covering these stories. So I just hope, long and prosperous future for Wired 868.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, fellas. Well, Lasana, it was a pleasure having you on the podcast tonight. Thanks for coming and giving us your perspective.
Great to
be. Yeah. So, man, Kevin, as always, thanks for coming in and lending your your opinions and your input, and look out for us with this is the first one for the year. Look out for more great guests on the podcast, hopefully like once a month as we go forward. So guys, good night, and all the best.
Yep, good night, thank you.
Yeah, all right.
Good night.
It was a pleasure. Vibes it up.